بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We thank Allah تبارك وتعالى for allowing us to come together with our beloved Sheikh, Sheikh Ali bin Yahya al-Haddadi, حبيبه الله تعالى. And we ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to bless our Sheikh, to benefit us in a statement, and we ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to make us from amongst those that hear that which is best for us and benefit from it and implement it in our lives. The subject of the lecture will be on the importance of seeking knowledge and benefiting from the scholars. فليتفضل شيخنا مشكور المهجور.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه سلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد. أولا نحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى على ما يسر من هذا اللقاء الذي أشعر بسببه بسعادة كبيرة، وأسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعله لقاء مباركا نافعا لي ولكم، إنه سميع مجيب الدعوات.
The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala began by praising Allah Ta'ala and sending salams upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, I praise Allah that He has made this gathering easy for us, and I feel that it is a blessed and a happy gathering, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it blessed for myself and as well as for those who are listening.
علم الكلام في هذا اللقاء التذكير بفضل طلب العلم الشرعي، وذلك حتى أحث نفسي أولا وأحثكم ثانيا على الاجتهاد في تحصيله وطلبه قدر الاستطاعة.
Then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala wanted to say the subject of the lecture is an encouragement to seek knowledge. It's an encouragement to seek knowledge. We're going to mention the merits of knowledge, and this encouragement is for myself first and foremost. It's an encouragement for myself first and foremost, and then it is an encouragement for those who are listening, and it's an encouragement for us to be diligent in seeking knowledge and obtaining it.
الشريعة الإسلامية له مكان عظيم، فقد أثنى الله عز وجل على العلم وعلى العلماء وعلى طلبة العلم في كتابه الكريم، وأثنى عليه أيضا نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم في سنته في أحاديث كثيرة. وهذا العلم الذي أثنى الله عز وجل عليه وعلى أهله، وأثنى عليه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أهله، المقصود به علم الشريعة الإسلامية الوحي الذي أنزله الله على رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala went on to say, all of us know that knowledge has a special place in Islam. It has a special place in Islam. We find in the book of Allah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the scholars, and Allah has praised the seekers of knowledge. Allah has done so in His book, and it has also been also the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised the scholars and the people of knowledge in his authentic sunnah. In many authentic narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised the people of knowledge and the seekers of knowledge. But this knowledge that we find Allah praising its people and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam praising its people, it is the legislated knowledge. It is knowledge of Islam. It is knowledge of that which has been sent down and revealed to our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
قد يقول قائل إن النصوص التي وردت في فضل العلم جاءت بصيغة عامة، فلماذا نخصص هذا الثناء وهذا الفضل بالعلم الشرعي؟ نقول أن الدليل قد دل على أن المقصود بالعلم المحمود في الكتاب والسنة هو علم الوحي. وأذكر لكم دليلا واحدا فقط يدلك أيها المسلم على أن العلم المحمود المقصود بالمدح في الكتاب والسنة هو علم الشريعة، قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: وإن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء، إن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء. فما هو ميراث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ ما هو ميراث الأنبياء جميعا الذي خلفوه وتركوه للأمم من بعدهم؟ لا شك أن الميراث الذي ورثه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لأمته وهكذا النبيين من قبله هو الوحي الذي أوحاه الله عز وجل إليه.
Then the Sheikh Hafiz Allah Ta'ala went on to say, it's possible at this moment an individual would say, if the proofs that have been mentioned pertaining to knowledge and the praise of knowledge and its people, if the proof that has been mentioned in the Quran as well as the Sunnah, if that proof is general, then why is or how is it an individual can say that it's specifically pertaining to Islamic knowledge? How is that the case? That an individual can say that it's specifically pertaining to Islamic knowledge. The Sheikh said the answer to that question is that because you have proof that informs that it is Islamic knowledge. He said, for example, I'm going to mention one proof where we find knowledge being praised, and from that proof it is understood that it is referring to Islamic knowledge. That proof, for example, is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, verily, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Verily, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. So, if the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets, what exactly would the scholars inherit from the prophets? What would they inherit from the prophets? There's no doubt that that which they inherited, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of the prophets that came before them, that which they inherited was the revelation that was sent down from Allah to those prophets and messengers, and it was upon them to call the people to that which was revealed to them.
Now, واستغفر لذنبك والمؤمنين والمؤمنات. هذه الآية فيها أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعلم التوحيد فعلا صيغة أمر. والخطاب حينما يوجه للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإن القاعدة الشرعية تقول إن الخطاب له ولأمته جميعا إلا إذا دل الدليل على اختصاص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بهذا الحكم الشرعي. فإذا حينما يأمر الله نبيه بقوله اعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله، فهذا الأمر موجه له وموجه أيضا لأمته من بعده رجالا ونساء. الدليل الثاني مثل الدليل واحد تشرحه.
The Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala, he said, we have mentioned the proof to show that that which is being praised is Islamic legislation or knowledge. Now we're going to mention some of the proofs pertaining to the order or the obligation of seeking knowledge. One of those proofs is the statement of Allah in the Quran where he said, no, and Allah Ta'ala is addressing his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, know that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and then seek forgiveness for your sins and for the believers. And then seek forgiveness for your sins and for the believers. In this verse of the Quran, Allah is ordering His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with knowledge of Tawheed. Allah is ordering His Messenger with knowledge of Tawheed. But there's a general principle in Islam, and that is, if Allah orders His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with something, then it is an order for him and for everyone that follows him, except that there comes a proof that shows it was only for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So B, once again, if Allah orders His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with something, it is also an order for His Ummah, for His followers, except that a proof shows that it is specifically for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And being that that's not the case, being that there's no proof to show that, that means it's an order for the Prophet, and it is an order for his followers from amongst the men and amongst the women.
الدليل الثاني ما ثبت في حديث أنس بن مالك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم وفي رواية ومسلمة طلب العلم التعلم والعلم هنا هذه العلم في قوله العلم تسمى عند العلماء العهدية يعني شيء معهود معروف في ذهن المتكلم وفي ذهن السامع المقصود بهذا العلم الذي قال عنه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بأنه فريضة المقصود به العلم الشرعي العلم الشرعي فهل هنا أن تسمى أن العهدية يعني شيء معهود معروف عند المتكلم وعند السامع طلب العلم يعني العلم الشرعي فريضة يعني واجب محتم ليس لك الخيار فيه تتعلم وتترك بل لا بد منه فريضة على كل مسلم وإذا كان فريضة على كل مسلم فهذا اللفظ يذكر فيه الرجال والنساء رواية مسلمة هذه سواء يعني ثبتت أو لم تثبت ما يتغير الحكم لأن قوله فريضة على كل مسلم يدخل فيه المسلمون عموما رجالا ونساء هذا العلم الذي قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فيه أنه فريضة يختلف من هو ما هو فريضة على كل مسلم بعينه ومنه ما هو فريضة كما يسمى فرض كفاية على مجموع الأمة هذا العلم الذي هو فرض محتم على كل مسلم يجب أن يعلمه الأمور الواجبة التي أوجبها الله عز وجل على العبد في يومه وليلته من ذلك مثلا إفراده بالعبادة من ذلك مثلا الفرائض الخمس الصلوات الخمس من ذلك الزكاة الواجبة الصوم الواجب الحج الواجب الحقوق الواجبة التي عليك هذه أشياء لا بد أن تتعلمها حتى تعبد ربك عز وجل على بصيرة وحتى تحذر من الوقوع في الإثم بسبب التفريط والإهمال والترك لتلك الواجبات بسبب جهلك بها
Then the Shaykh Hafidh Allah Ta'ala went on to say, the second proof of the obligation, or that illustrates the obligation of seeking knowledge, is the hadith of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim, and there's also a second narration of that hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim male and female. So, in this hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ عَلْعِلْمِ Aleph and Lam, the Aleph and Lam which are connected to the word knowledge, this is something, the Aleph and Lam illustrates that it is the knowledge which is known. It illustrates that it is the knowledge which is known in the mind of the speaker as well as the listener, meaning Islamic knowledge. So this Aleph and Lam, Al-Ahdiyah, illustrates that it is something known, meaning it is the knowledge that when it is mentioned, the speaker as well as the listener knows what is being referred to, and that is Islamic knowledge. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, seeking knowledge is obligatory. When he said seeking knowledge is obligatory, meaning it's an obligation. It's incumbent upon every individual. There's no choice. The individual does not have the choice to not seek it. And it's upon every male and female. It's upon every male and female, because Prophet ﷺ said upon every Muslim. And It was general. Then he said, but the knowledge, Islamic knowledge is divided into two categories. One, that which is obligatory upon every Muslim. That which is obligatory upon every Muslim. And the second, that which is obligatory upon a group from amongst the Ummah. That which is obligatory upon a group from amongst the Ummah. He said an example of the first is that which is obligatory upon you to implement each individual day or the likes. For example, it's upon you to implement the Tawheed of Allah. That's an obligation upon every Muslim. The five daily prayers, it's upon us to pray five times a day. That's an obligation upon every Muslim, and the knowledge about that is an obligation upon every Muslim. As well as zakat. If you are an individual that zakat is sought from, it's upon you to learn about zakat. It's upon you to learn about fasting. It's upon you to learn about the obligatory hajj. And the rights and the obligations that are upon you as a servant or with regards to your Lord, those particular things are obligatory for every Muslim to learn. And then he said, and it's also, and the reason why it's obligatory for you to learn is so that you can implement that which is obligatory upon you, and that you can abstain from and be cautious of not fulfilling the rights and the obligations upon you because of your ignorance of these particular affairs.
تقدم تنبيه على أن العلم منه ما هو فرض عين ومنه ما هو فرض كفاية ومثلت لكم خلاص أقول مثلت لكم بالعلم العيني علم مثلا توحيد معرفة الله عز وجل وإفراده بالعبادة هذا لابد لأن إفراد الله عز وجل بالعبادة هذا هو الأمر الأعظم الذي خلقك الله عز وجل من أجله ولو أن الشخص جاهل هذا الأمر وصار عنده في خلل وعبد غير الله سبحانه وتعالى وهو بإمكانه أن يتعلم فإنه سيكون مصيره إلى النار والعياذ بالله هكذا أيضا ما يتعلق بالشهادة لمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بالرسالة أيضا للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك حقوق واجبة من الإيمان به واتباعه ومحبته أيضا لو لم تعرف هذه الأحكام فستخل بها وبالتالي ستقع في الإثم هكذا أيضا من العلم الواجب ما يتعلق بأمر الصلاة المفروضة الصلاة لها شروط تكون سابقة عليها من الطهارة، ستر العورة، استقبال القبلة، دخول الوقت لها أركان في أثنائها لا تتم الصلاة إلا بها تكبيرة الإحرام، قراءة الفاتحة، الركوع، السجود ونحو ذلك هناك واجبات أيضا في داخل الصلاة إن تركتها عند البطلة الصلاة إن تركتها سهوا تجبرها بسجود السهو فهذه الأحكام وأمثالها يجب عليك أن تتعلمها وتتفقه فيها حتى تعبد ربك على بصيرة هناك نوع من العلم فرض كفاية إذا تعلمه من يكفي وقام بمن يكفي سقط الإثم عن الباقي مثلا عدد من المسلمين يسكنون في قرية ويوجد في هذه القرية رجل ملم بأحكام تغسير الميت وتوجد أيضا امرأة ملمة بأحكام تغسير الميت ويقومون بهذا الأمر إذا مات الميت في هذه القرية إن كان الرجل غسله الرجل وكفنه وجهزه وإذا كانت الميت امرأة تولدت تلك المرأة فما دام أن الأمر اكتفي بهذا الرجل وبهذه المرأة سقط الإثم عن الباقين لكن لو أن كل أهل القرية يجهلون الحكم في هذا ولا يحسنون تغسيل الميت تغسيل شرعي ولا يحسنون تكفينه تكفين الشرعي ولا يحسنون دفنه دفن الشرعي من الذي يأثم؟ يأثم الجميع فإذا مسائل العلم تتفاوت منها ما يلزم كل مسلم بعينه كل مسلمة بعينها ومنها ما يلزم الأمة بمجموعها وقد سئل مالك رحمه الله ما هو العلم الذي أتعلمه أو يجب علي أن أتعلمه فقال انظر ما أمرك الله به في يومك وليلتك. انظر ما يلزمك في يومك وليلتك فهذا يجب عليك أن تتعلمه. قد تكون مثلا تاجر تمارس البيع والشراء فيجب عليك أن تتعلم الأحكام المتعلقة بالبيع والشراء حتى لا تقع في معاملات محرمة. إذا كنت مثلا موظف في عمل حكومي في عمل تجاري خاص أيضا هناك واجبات شرعية تتعلق بك بالنظر إلى كونك موظف. هذه الأشياء لا بد أن تتعلمها حتى تقوم بهذا الواجب على وجه الذي يولى ربك سبحانه وتعالى. إذا كنت زوجا لك زوجة لا عليك حقوق، حقوق واجبة، حقوق مستحبة، أشياء محرمة لا يجوز لك أن تفعلها معها، فإذا يجب عليك أن تتعلم هذه الأحكام الزوجية حتى تقوم بها على الوجه الصحيح. وهكذا أيضا المرأة الزوجة عليها حقوق تجاه زوجها فيجب أن تتعلمها حتى لا يؤدي بها الجهل بها إلى التفريط والتقصير وتقع في الإثم والحرج.
Salaam alaik. Then the Sheikh Hafizullah Ta'ala mentioned Naam, he said, I have mentioned or I have informed that there are two types of knowledge, that which is obligatory upon every individual Muslim, that which is obligatory upon every individual Muslim, and that which is obligatory, a collective obligation. And I mentioned that that which is obligatory upon every individual Muslim, I gave an example such as Tawheed, implementing the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah, awareness of Allah, and singling Him out alone for worship. This is this is the most important form of knowledge. Why? Because it is the greatest reason why Allah created the creation. It is the greatest reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation. And there's no doubt that if an individual is ignorant of this particular affair, the affair of Tawheed, and the person worships other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no doubt that their final destination is going to be the hellfire. So because of that, it is an obligation upon every individual Muslim, as well as bearing witness to the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is an obligation upon everyone. And there are rights that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has over all of us. There are rights that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has over all of us. From amongst them, that we believe in him, that we follow him, that we love him. And it's possible that if an individual does not learn these rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they can fall into sin and transgression. Another, he said, but then we have the other category, which is knowledge which is only upon a group or some of one. No, before going into that, he said another thing is knowledge of salat, the obligatory salat, 5 times a day. You have the conditions of salat which come before the salat, such as purification, such as covering of the awra, such as facing the qibla. These are obligations that come before salat. And in order for you to pray, you must know these obligations. For example, you also have the arkan, or the pillars of salat. These are things which are present within the salat, such as the opening takbir, such as recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, such as the bowing, such as the prostration. All of these things are from the pillars of the salat. And then you have the wajibat, or the obligations of salat. They are also present within the salat. They are also present within the salat. And the obligations of the salat, if a person misses an obligation of salat purposely, if a person leaves off an obligation of salat purposely, it invalidates the salat. But if a person leaves off from the obligations of salat by forgetfulness, then the person makes it up by praying sujood as-sahw at the end of the salat. So these things are, it is obligatory upon a person to learn. Why? Because salat is obligatory upon you 5 days, 5 times a day. But then he said, but now I'm going to mention an example of the fard al-kifaya, the collective obligation. He said, for example, if you had a village, for example, if you had a village and there was a man, and this village is populated by Muslims, there's a man that lives in, there's one man that lives in the village, he knows how to clean, wrap, and bury a Muslim, the legislated way. And there's one female, likewise, she knows how to clean, wrap, and bury a female Muslimah, the legislated way. So this takes place in that village. When a Muslim dies, the man, he cleans them, he wraps them, he buries them. Or if a female dies, the female Muslimah, she cleans the female, washes them, she wraps them, she buries them. So this is okay. But what takes place if those two people, or Afwan, what takes place if there's no one in this village which is populated by Muslims? What takes place if no one knows how to clean a Muslim if they die? No one knows how to clean a Muslim male, nor does anyone know how to clean a Muslim female, then every Muslim in the village is held accountable. Every Muslim in the village is held accountable because this is a collective obligation. So this is an example of a fard al-kifaya. Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Malik was asked, what knowledge is obligatory upon me? As a Muslim, what knowledge is obligatory upon me? How do I know that knowledge? He responded, he said, look at that which Allah has ordered you every day and every night. Whatever action that you must do, day and night, like the Shaykh mentioned, Salat and the likes of that, whatever action you must do day and night, that is what is obligatory upon you. That's fard al-ayn. Everything that you have to do are things that you have to do day and night. That's fard al-ayn. So he said, for example, if you want to mention another example, if you are a merchant, say an individual from amongst us, he's a merchant. So now it becomes obligatory upon him to learn business transactions. Why? Because he's a merchant. So now he has to learn business transactions. Another individual, he's a worker in a government sector or something like that. He has to learn things pertaining to his specific sector or specific part of his occupation in order so that he doesn't fall into anything haram, in order that he fulfills his job with the best with that which is legislated. Another thing, this is for most of us, if you are a husband, then you have certain obligations that you must fulfill. So if you are a husband, you have to learn the obligations of a husband, because this is something you do day and night. And likewise, if you are a wife, then your husband has certain obligations upon you. Then you have to learn what are the obligations of a wife. There are things which are obligatory upon a husband and a wife. There are things which are recommended for a husband and a wife. And there are things that are haram. So you have to learn all of these things pertaining to being a wife, so that you can fulfill your obligations. And as well, likewise, a husband, so that you can fulfill your obligation. And so that you do not fall into that which is forbidden and not legislated. As-salamu alaykum.
الآن ننتقل إلى فقرة أخرى، وهي ذكر بعض النصوص الواردة في فضل طلب العلم وعلمه. يقول الله عز وجل: شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط، لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. هذه الآية ذكر الله عز وجل فيها شهادة عظيمة جدا، وهي الشهادة على وحدانيته، لأنه لا معبود بحق إلا الله عز وجل. هذا الأمر المشهود عليه، أنه لا معبود حق إلا من؟ إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا هو أعظم حقوق الله عز وجل على عباده، أن لا يعبد أحدا سواه. هذا الأمر من الذي شهد عليه بأنه حق وصدق؟ الشاهد الأول الله سبحانه وتعالى، شهد الله. الشاهد الثاني من؟ الملائكة المقربون الذين خلقهم الله عز وجل من نور، الذين سخرهم الله سبحانه وتعالى لطاعته، الذين أدناهم منه عز وجل فلا يعصونه طرفة عين. الشاهد الثالث أهل العلم وأولو العلم، لو كان هناك أكرم منهم لاستشهدهم الله عز وجل، ولكن لا أكرم منهم ولا أجل قدرا منهم. ولذلك قارن الله شهادته بشهادة نفسه وبشهادة ملائكته. ويدخل طبعا في أول العلم دخولا أوليا الأنبياء والرسل، ثم من اتبعهم من أهل العلم والإيمان. هذه الآية الأولى، منها قوله سبحانه وتعالى: يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. المقصود بذلك أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يرفع المؤمنين في درجات الجنة، فإن الجنة في أعلى علميين، والنار أين هي؟ النار في أسفل سافلين. الله سبحانه وتعالى يرفع أهل الإيمان ويخفض أهل الكفر، ولكن أهل العلم من المؤمنين يرفعهم الله فوق المؤمنين الذين ليس عندهم العلم. يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين يعني ويرفع الذين أوتوا العلم درجات. فكلما كان حبك من العلم أكبر، كلما كانت درجتك عند الله عز وجل أرفع وأعلى. ولكن هنا يجب أن ننتبه، وهو أنه إذا أثني على العلماء أثني على أهل العلم، فالمقصود بهم الذين يقرنون ويجمعون بين العلم والعمل، وإلا فلا فائدة منه. ولهذا في هذه الآية لاحظ أولها: إذا قيل لكم تفسحوا في المجالس فافسحوا، ثم قال: يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. يعني المقصود هنا الذين طبقوا العلم. إذا قيل لكم تفسحوا في المجالس فافسحوا، إذا هؤلاء تعلموا وامتثلوا العلم الذي تعلموا، فهؤلاء يرفعهم الله عز وجل. وما هذا الذي في الآية إلا مثال، نموذج واحد، وهو أنه المسلم مطلوب منه إذا دخل داخل عليه في المجلس وهو مجموعة أن تتفسح له، ما دام أنه فيه إمكانية لهذا التفسح والتوسع. فإذا في هذه الآية الكريمة تنبيه على مسألتين: على أن الله عز وجل يرفع العلماء فوق عامة المؤمنين، والتنبيه الثاني على أن هؤلاء الذين يرفعهم الله إنما هم الذين جمعوا بين العلم والعمل.
As-salamu alaykum. The Shaykh went on to mention that we're going to move on to another point, and that is mentioning some of the proofs pertaining to the merits of knowledge and its people. From amongst those proofs is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. Well, Allah says that Allah bears witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Him. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَعُلُوا الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. And the angels and the people of knowledge. So Allah bears witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Himself and the angels and the people of knowledge. So in this verse, Allah is mentioning a great bearing of witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning something great with regards to the bearing of witness, and that is to His Tawheed, to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, and that it is upon the servants to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then after that, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is first bearing witness, and then the angels. The angels are likewise bearing witness. The angels, those who are close to Allah. The angels, those who Allah Ta'ala has created from light. Those whom Allah Ta'ala has created only to worship Him. And Allah Ta'ala has brought them, those individuals, near. They do not disobey Allah, even with the blinking of an eye. They do not disobey Allah, even by the blinking of an eye. Then after them, the third individual, the third group of individuals that Allah mentioned that bore this witness are the people of knowledge. Are the people of knowledge. And if there was anyone more precious, if there was anyone more praiseworthy or precious than the scholars, then Allah Ta'ala would have mentioned them. But we find Allah mentioning Himself, Allah mentioning the angels, and then Allah Ta'ala mentioning the people of knowledge. If there was anyone greater than the people of knowledge, Allah would have mentioned them. But Allah did not do so. So because of that, we find that Allah Ta'ala, because of the statue and the merits of the people of knowledge, we find that Allah Ta'ala joining their bearing of witness with His and the Malaika. And there's no doubt that if the fact that Allah mentioned the scholars, the people that enter at the forefront of the scholars are the prophets and the messengers. They are at the forefront of the scholars and everyone that follows them in terms of knowledge. This is one proof that was mentioned. Another proof which was mentioned, second verse, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily Allah raises those who believe from amongst you. Allah raises those who believe from amongst you, and the people who have been given knowledge, Allah raises them in levels. Allah raises them in levels. And this is understood, and what is meant by this is that Allah raises the believers in Jannah. Allah raises the believers in the highest parts of Jannah, and Allah lowers the disbelievers in the lowest parts of the hellfire. But He said, but we understand from this verse that Allah Ta'ala raises the people of knowledge over the general believer. Allah raises the people of knowledge over the general believer. And because of that, it is understood, the more knowledge that you obtain, the higher you will be lifted. The more knowledge that you obtain, the higher you will be raised. But the Shaykh made an important point. That is referring to the people that implement the knowledge that they obtain. That's only, and it's referring specifically for the people that implement the knowledge which they obtain. The people that gather are the people that join between knowledge and implementation. And he said, and this is understood from the same verse. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in this particular verse that he says, verily Allah raises those who believe and those who have been given knowledge. This verse itself, if you look at the words that came before, it explains that it is people that are implementing the knowledge. He said, why? Because earlier in the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if it is said to the believer, تَفَسَّهُ فِي الْمَجَالِسِ, if it is said to the believer, yani once other individuals come into the room or into the gathering, when it is said to the believer, give some space, give some room so other people can sit down, what does the believer do? The believer gives room. So that's what Allah mentions in the beginning part of the verse. Okay, once again I'll say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of the verse says, when it is said to the believer, when they're in a gathering, and other individuals enter the gathering, when it is said to the believer, give some space or give some room so others can sit, the believer immediately does it. Then Allah says, verily Allah would raise those who have been given, those who believe and those who have been given knowledge over the others. Which means, the way of the believer that has been given knowledge is if Allah orders him to do something, he immediately does it. So that informs you that the people that Allah is going to raise and give, the people that Allah is going to raise is the people that implement the orders of Allah. Not simply that you learn, not simply that you memorize, but that which is incumbent is that you implement and you act upon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So
أيضا مما ورد في فضل العلم وأهله الحديث المشهور المعروف من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة وإن الملائكة لتضع أجنحتها لطالب العلم رضا بما يصنع وفضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر ليلة كفضل القمر أو كفضل البدر على سائر الكواكب ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن العلماء وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما وإن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما وإنما ورثوا العلم، فمن أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا الحديث أولا فيه أن طلب العلم طريق موصل إلى الجنة، مجرد سلوكك طريق وذهابك في طريق سواء حسية أو معنوية تريد أن تطلب في هذه الطريق علم، فإن الله عز وجل يجعل هذا المسير وهذا الجهد الذي تبذله سببا في دخولك الجنة. الطريق الحسي حينما تخرج من بيتك إلى مكان تتلقى فيه العلم، كان يكون العلم في المسجد أو في المعهد في مدرسة، فهذا الذهاب أو من بلد إلى بلد، فهذا الطريقة الحسية التي تنتقل منها إلى مكان العلم طريق يوصلك بإذن الله عز وجل إلى الجنة. الطريقة المعنوية حين مثلا تأخذ كتاب وانت في بيتك جالس تتناول كتاب، تجلس تتعلم العلم الشرعي من خلال هذا الكتاب، حينما تشغل شريط فيه درس شرح آيات شرع أحاديث بيان أحكام فقهية، هذا أيضا طريق من طرق طلب العلم، ليس فيها انتقال مكان إلى مكان ولكنها طريقة معنوية، من سلك طريقا يلتمس به علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. الفائدة الثانية فيه الثناء والمدح لطلاب العلم، لطلاب العلم، وذلك بقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: وإن الملائكة لتضع أجنحتها لطالب العلم أيضا بما يصنع، تضع أجنحتها، تمد أجنحتها، تضعها على الأرض، تفرشها احتراما وإجلالا لطالب العلم، كانه حينما يعني يمر من عند هذا الملك تفعل ذلك احتراما وإجلالا وتقديرا له. ومما ذكره بعض العلماء أن أحد المعتزلة كان يسخر من طلاب الحديث، فرأى مجموعة من طلاب الحديث وهم يهرولون يسرعون في المشي يريدون أن يدركوا درس قبل أن يفوت عليهم، وكان هذا المعتزل يكره أهل الحديث، فقال: رويدكم رويدكم، يعني تمهلوا لا تجروا لا تركوا، لا تكسروا أجنحة الملائكة، لا تكسروا أجنحة الملائكة، يقول ذلك من باب السخرية والاستهزاء، هو أصلا ما يصدق بهذا الحديث ولا يحب هذا الحديث، يقول الراوي فيبست رجلاه في مكانه أصابه الله عز وجل بالشلل، فشل الله رجليه في نفس الموقف والعياذ بالله. فإذا هذا الحديث في فائدته الثانية فيه فضل طالب العلم وإن لم يبلغ درجة العلماء، لو هذا أول يوم لك في طلب العلم فإنك تدخل في هذا الثناء في هذا الفضل ما دام أن نيتك خالصة لوجه الله سبحانه وتعالى. ثالثا فيه بيان مقارنة بين العالم والعابد، مقارنة بين العالم وبين العابد، شخص آتاه الله عز وجل علم فهو يعلم الناس يعمل بعلمه ويعلم الناس، وشخص مجتهد في أي شيء في نوافل العبادات، مكثر من صوم النافلة، مكثر من نوافل الصلاة وقيام الليل، مكثر من التسبيح والتهليل والتكبير، هذا شغله الشاغل. فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام جعل العالم مثل القمر ليلة البدر ليلة 15، وجعل العابد مثل من؟ مثل النجم، النجم فيه نور والقمر فيه نور، ولكن نور النجم خاص به هو، أما نور القمر فإنه يضيء للسائر في ظلمات الليل فيرون ويبصرون أشياء كان الليل قد غطاها لولا رؤيتهم لهذا بنور القمر. المقصود من هذا المثال أن القمر فضل متعد وخير متعد، أما النجم فخيره لمن؟ خيره لنفسه، والخير المتعدي الذي يصل إلى آخرين أفضل من الخير الذي يكون لنفسك فقط. وإذا أردت أن تعرف المقارنة والاختلاف بين العالم والعابد فانظر إلى قصة الرجل الذي قتل كان 99 نفس، قتل 99 شخص ظلما وعدوانا، ذهب إلى عابد من العباد لكنه ما عنده علم، فسأله هذا المجرم قال له قتلت 99 نفس هل لي من توبة؟ هل لي من توبة؟ قال له العابد لا، حجر عليه رحمة الله وسد عليه باب الرجوع إلى الله عز وجل فقتل وكمل به المئة. ثم دله الناس على عالم، اذهب إلى فلان عالم، فذهب إليه وسأل نفس السؤال قال ومن يحول بينك وبين التوبة؟ فأنقذه الله عز وجل بهذا العالم بعد أن كاد يهلك بفتوى ذلك العابد الجاهل. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن معلم الناس الخير ليستغفر له كل شيء حتى الحيتان في الماء. هذا أيضا من فضائل العالم أن الله عز وجل يسخر له هذه الجمادات وهذه الحيوانات يسخرها للاستغفار للعالم والدعاء له، حتى النملة في جحرها وحتى الحيتان أين؟ في أعماق الماء. طيب من الذي ألهمها وعلمها أن في عالم فلان من فلان ادعي له استغفر له؟ الله عز وجل، الله على كل شيء قدير، فالله سبحانه وتعالى يلهمها الاستغفار لهذا العالم أو الدعاء لهذا العالم، وهي حيوان بهيم لا ينطق ولا يتكلم بلغة نحن نعرفها. فهذا من أمر الغيب نؤمن به ونصدق به وإن كنا لا نلمسه بحواسنا القاصرة الضعيفة. فتخيل أنت على فراشك، أنت في بيتك، أنت في عملك، والله عز وجل مسخر لك هذه الكائنات تدعو لك وتستغفر لك. ذكر العلماء سبب لماذا يعني هذا الحيتان وهذا النمل وهذه الأشياء كلها تستغفر للعالم، يعني هل هناك خدمة قدمها العالم لهذه الحيوانات؟ هل هناك خدمة قدمها العالم لهذه الحشرات؟ هل هناك خدمة قدمها العالم لهذه الأشياء؟ الجواب نعم، العالم يأمر بطاعة الله وينهى عن معصية الله، وبالتالي ما ينزل الله عز وجل عقوبات، لأنه يوجد الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، معلم الناس الخير، محذرهم من الشر، فاستفاد الحيتان من هذا العالم وهي في بحرها، واستفادت الحشرة من هذا العالم وهي في جحرها، واستفاد منه كل شيء بإذن الله عز وجل. لكن إذا صار الناس في بلد جاهل ليس في علم، ليس في معروف، ليس في إنكار منكر، لا يعبد الله عز وجل، تنزل عقوبات تشمل الجميع، وبالتالي تتضرر النملة، تتضرر الطير، تتضرر الحوت، تتضرر كل شيء. هذا التماس من بعض العلماء للحكمة في تفسير الله عز وجل هذه الحيوانات في الدعاء والاستغفار لمعلم الناس الخير. كفرنا عليك.
أحسن الله عليك.
أنا جاي من مشوار بعيد، فلازم نعطيكم اليوم بس طويلة.
الله يبارك
فيك. المشوار.
ما كسرت. الله يبارك فيك. Then the Sheikh Hafizullah Ta'ala went on to mention another proof for the another proof that informs of the merits of knowledge, which is the hadith which is well known and famous, the hadith the hadith which is well known, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever treads a path seeking knowledge therein, Allah makes his path easy for him to Jannah. In this hadith, the long hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever treads a path seeking knowledge, Allah makes his path easy for him to Jannah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, verily the angels lower their wings. Verily the angels lower their wings to honor the student of knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and the merits of the scholar over the general layman is the similitude of the greatness of the moon compared to the other stars. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, and verily the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets and the messengers. Verily the prophets and the messengers did not leave behind wealth, but they left back knowledge. So whoever takes a hold of it has taken a strong hold. The Shaykh said, this hadith informs that the mere seeking of knowledge is a means for Allah making a path to Jannah easy for a person. If an individual wants a path to Jannah and he wants that path made easy for him, it's upon him to seek knowledge. And this can be something which is abstract. This path of seeking knowledge can be something which is abstract, or it can be something which is actual and tangible. So he said, for example, whether it's abstract or whether it's something which is the reality and tangible, Allah Ta'ala will make your path easy for you to Jannah because of your diligence in seeking knowledge. He said, for example, and if an individual, that which is the reality, or that which is tangible, for example, an individual leaving his house to go to a class, or an individual leaving his house to go to a masjid to seek knowledge, or to go to a school, or an individual traveling from one country to another country to seek knowledge. By doing so, Allah is going to make his path easy to Jannah. Or the abstract form, which is, for example, a person picks up a book. He wants to read from that book, to learn something from that book. Or a person merely plays a tape that he can listen to, an audio tape. By doing so, Allah is going to make your path easy for you to Jannah. He said another thing, another benefit from this hadith is that this hadith is a praise for the student of knowledge. It's a praise for the student of knowledge. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, verily the angels lower their wings to honor the student of knowledge. To honor the student of knowledge. Meaning the angels actually lower their wings to honor the student of knowledge. They do so to honor him, to praise him, you know, and the likes of that. And it was mentioned that one of the Mu'tazila of the past, he did not like the people of Hadith. He despised the people of Hadith and the students of Hadith. So one day, he saw some students of knowledge. They were racing, or they were running quickly because they wanted to catch a class that was taking place in a masjid. So he saw those students of knowledge. He said, take your time, take your time. You're going to stomp on the wings of the angels. You're going to stomp on the wings of the angels. He was making fun of the hadith because the Mu'tazila, they don't believe in the hadith. They don't believe in the hadith. And there was a narrator who was present at the time. There was a student of knowledge who was present at the time that Mu'tazili had said that statement. And he said, we turned around and we looked at him, and Allah paralyzed his legs on the spot. Allah paralyzed his legs on the spot. He was no longer able to move his legs. Why? Because he made fun of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ pertaining to the merits of a student of knowledge and the angels lowering their wings to honor the student of knowledge. He said also this hadith is a great merit and an encouragement for a student of knowledge, even if you do not reach the level of a scholar. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, verily the angels lower their wings to honor the student of knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ did not mention the scholar. So that's an encouragement for a student of knowledge, even if he doesn't reach the level of being a scholar in Islam. The fact, the mere fact that he's seeking knowledge, it shows you how much the angels honor the student of knowledge. He said also, this hadith is a comparison between the scholar and the general layman or the worshipper. And that is, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the similitude or the comparison of the scholar is the comparison of the moon compared to the rest of the stars. The comparison of the moon compared to the rest of the stars on the 15th night, on the 15th night of the month. It's a full moon. And the Shaykh mentioned that the scholars have mentioned in this regard, a person that prays, or a general worshipper or layman, he prays for himself. He prays the five daily prayers, the supererogatory prayers, he prays for himself. His prayer does not benefit anyone else. But the scholar, the knowledge of the scholar, it benefits others. It benefits others. And that's the similitude of the moon compared to the rest of the stars. The moon, the light of the moon, the light of the moon is shed over throughout the earth. It illuminates, it brings light to the earth. Whereas the light of an individual star, it only benefits itself. It only, you know, it's present within itself. So this is the knowledge, or this is the similitude of the scholar compared to the general layman. He said also, you have some of the scholars. No. He said also, you have this example, or this benefit is illustrated in the story of the man that killed 99 people. The well-known hadith of the man that killed 99 people. That man that killed 99 people, when he wanted to make tawbah, he wanted to repent to Allah, he went to a worshipper. He went to a worshipper. And the worshipper told him, there's no tawbah for you, there's no repentance for you, Allah would never accept it from you. So what happened? It led to his death, meaning the murderer killed that worshipper. It led to his own death. But later on, when the murderer had completed 100 people, and once again he wanted to repent, he went to a scholar. He went to a scholar. And the scholar told him, yes, you can repent. What will stop you from repenting? And the individual repented. So the point is, had the murderer not come into contact with the scholar, he himself would have never repented. He himself would have been lost. Based on what? Based on the incorrect fatwa, based on the incorrect ruling that he got from the worshipper. So it shows you the merits of a scholar over the merits of an individual worshipper. Then he mentioned the rest of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and verily the scholar, everything on the earth and everything in the heavens and everything on the earth seeks forgiveness for the scholar. This is a great merit. Everything in the heavens and everything on the earth seeks forgiveness for the scholar. He's mentioned even the fish in the ocean, they seek forgiveness for the scholar. And there's no doubt that that's a great merit, that Allah Ta'ala would inspire those creations, whether they're the bugs, because the Prophet ﷺ said everything in the heavens, everything on earth, whether it's the bugs, whether it's the ants, whether it's the fish in the ocean, Allah Ta'ala inspires those creations to seek forgiveness for the scholar. Seek forgiveness for the scholar. No matter where that creation is on the earth or in the heavens, it seeks forgiveness for the scholar by the permission of Allah and by the order of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, some of the ulama have mentioned why do these things, yani the animals and the likes, why? What benefit do they get from the scholar? So much so that they seek forgiveness for the scholar. He said, it's mentioned that if you have a scholar, the scholars mentioned that if you have a scholar in a particular land, he tells the people what they should do, he tells the people what they shouldn't do, he enjoins the good, he forbids the evil, and there's no doubt that if he enjoins the good and forbids the evil, then it creates harmony within the society. It creates harmony within the society. And the animals, they receive good from that harmony. But if it's the opposite, if you have a land where you don't have a scholar that enjoins the good, nor does he forbid the evil, and people transgress the bounds of Allah, people do that which is forbidden, then Allah is going to send down punishment. If Allah sends down punishment, everyone's going to be affected by it. Everyone and everything is going to be affected by it. So because of that, there's no doubt that the presence of a scholar, even the animals, they are affected by it in a good way. Then he mentioned...
ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم